How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
The important session we're into right now on understanding. Let me see, how shall I start? The state of New York is passing laws. It's in the works. It's almost a done deal. So that people can change the gender on their birth certificates. I ask you, have you ever heard of something so stupid? Have we ever had leaders with such a lack of understanding? The problem today is twofold. Make no mistake about it. There is an absence of virtue in the land. We have become morally corrupted. With moral corruption comes a corruption of intelligence. The inability to reason, to comprehend, to understand the cause and effect relationships, the dynamics of circumstances and situations. Now, when I told this New York story to my wife, she thought about it with great dismay, and then she cheered up. She said, well, this may lead to us being able to change the age on our birth certificate. So my question to her was, well, which way would you change it, up or down? And, of course, if you could change your age. Now, let me tell you something. It makes as much sense to be able to change the age on your birth certificate as it does to change your gender. But, you know, if you turn it back a few years, you'd collect old age security sooner. I guess that would be one of the benefits. I think I would turn mine back too, not for that reason, but people would look at me and say, how old are you? And I'd say 92. And say, wow, you look great for your age. And I'd say, yeah, I do, don't I? The mental, when I say mental, I'm referring here to an intelligence quotient of this generation is plummeting quickly. Now, I once jokingly said to somebody, and it was a lousy joke, but I once jokingly said to someone one time, I wish I had a lower IQ so you and I could fellowship. Let me tell you something. That's about the way it is right now if you want to fellowship with the world. You have to give up a great measure of intelligence. Stupidity abounds. Ignorance is on the rise. And there is a direct correlationship to the loss of morality and the loss of intelligence. It has destroyed many great societies before us. And it will do so here. Unless there's a people who have understanding. Now, we began last week with the value of understanding, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week. Then, week after Thanksgiving, We're going to deal with the subject on how to get understanding. Where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? The depth says it's not in me. The sea says it's not with me. Where can it be found? Cannot be bought with the gold of Ophir. Nor the precious onyx. Nor the sapphire. For its value is above that of rubies. Neither shall it be purchased with gold. Neither shall the weight of silver attain to it. Wherefore shall we find wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing that no one in the land of the living understands it. Destruction and death say, we have heard with our ears of it. But God understands the way thereof. And He knows the place of understanding. And our study will be from directly from God on how to get understanding. I don't want you to miss 2 weeks today. Next Sunday will be Thanksgiving. The Sunday after we finish understanding, we'll start into the Christmas season. I'm going to teach on how to get blessed in the first chapter of Matthew, which isn't easy. Everybody know how the first chapter of Matthew goes? And so-and-so begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so. We got 10, 11 verses of begats. How do you get blessed reading a chapter like that? I'm going to show you how and introduce the Christmas season. But this morning, we want to pick up on where we left off on the value of understanding. Now, we left off last week, I don't know, number 25, I believe it was. In fact, number 24, we learned that understanding delivers us from evil men and evil women. Now, look at this scripture. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee, now look at it, to deliver thee. Isn't that wonderful? Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of the evil man. And not an evil man, but to deliver thee from the strange woman, even the woman stranger that flatters with her words. So we learned that one last week. We learned that, number 25, that understanding is a great source of happiness. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and happy is the man that gets understanding. Source of happiness. Now, here we begin today. You need to know that understanding pays really big dividends. Here was the verse, happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. The man that gets understanding. Now, watch this. The merchandise of it, of this mixture of wisdom and understanding, is better than what you can buy with silver or what you can gain with fine gold. The benefits, the dividends, are better than the merchandise of silver and the gain of gold. She's more precious than rubies. She's more precious, this understanding, than all the things thou canst desire. You name some desire, it cannot be compared to understanding. And look at this. You want to live a long time? Length of days is in her right hand. You want to have health? You better get understanding. And in her left hand, there are riches and honor. Wow, these are big dividends. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. All her paths are paths of peace. Understanding and wisdom, they are like a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy, again, as happy this theme is, everyone that retains her. Stupidity also has big dividends. And if you want to know the rewards of being stupid, you just go through this passage and look at the opposite, the flip side of this. The ways are not pleasant. There is no peace in it. There is no life. Tree of life, it's destruction. There's no happiness in being stupid. God's intention for humanity is to be different than the beast of the field. And we learned last week, didn't we, that the man without understanding is as the beast of the field. He's got glands, they've got glands. They follow their glands, he follows his glands. They do what feels good, he does what feels good. No difference between a man without understanding and a beast. No difference at all. So man that is in honor by God, designed for dignity, esteem, and well-being, repudiates his maker's intentions by insisting on living without understanding. Well, there's some other benefits. Now he pays big dividends. Understanding is the birthplace of creativity. You want to invent something new? It's going to be born out of understanding. It is the soil out of which creativity can emerge. Watch the scripture. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth, and by understanding hath he established the heavens. Science is merely the study of what God already understood. Science is merely the observation of the creativity of God that came out of the infinite wisdom and understanding of his personhood. Whether that science involves biology, botany, zoology, chemistry, physics, nanotechnology, which to me is an amazing new science world. And whether you, like Pascal said, the great French philosopher, devout follower of Jesus Christ said, one of the greatest scientists in history, quoted off by our esteemed A.W. Tozer, God designed humanity halfway in between the macro and the micro. The greatness, the bigness of the universe, and the almost infinite smallness of the microcosmic world. And he placed man here, not controlled by any version of determinism, as a pawn or as a puppet or as a, what do you call these little guys, the marionette but born with his image. Imagine the image of God made in his likeness. Oh. To comprehend meaning, significance, cause and effect. To be able to create. To comprehend, to have understanding. The soul is the birthplace of creativity. Now, everywhere you read of understanding or wisdom in the scriptures, you will find it very quite merged, married, if you please, interlaced, interlinked, interwoven, interdependent with wisdom. And in its alliance with wisdom, it is termed by Scripture to be the most important pursuit in life. Here's the Scripture. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, you're going to see in a few moments that one of the values of wisdom, of understanding is it enables you to get wisdom. I'll show you. Let's go for it. Understanding causes promotion and honor. We just went through this scripture. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. With all that getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and look at what she shall do. She shall promote thee. She shall bring you to honor. When thou dost embrace her. If you will give yourself to understanding, you will never have to try for promotion. Now, I don't know when, perhaps in the new year, we will study the subject of promotion. It is a critically important subject according to the Bible. And people who do not have understanding don't know where promotion comes from. Now, recollect with me, promotion cometh not from the east or from the west or from the south, but promotion comes from the Lord. Now, I'm so tempted to launch into a whole group of scriptures here, which I will at a later date. Because God has cause and effect dynamics by which he is able to promote somebody. One of them is listed here. That if you will embrace something God says is the most important thing in life, understanding, that understanding you get will automatically propel you upwards. And you will not have to promote yourself. You won't have to have an advertising campaign. You won't have to politic. Wouldn't that be great? Because promotion comes from the Lord. And he has set cause and effect dynamics for promotion. One of them is understanding. Understanding is a source, is the source, not a source. It is the source of discretion. My son, attend to thy my wisdom and bow down to my understanding. Now, what's this now? understanding, look at this phrase, that thou mayest. Regard discretion. Now, I want you to change your notes just slightly. I want you to change this number 30. It is the source of discretion and the means of knowledge retention. I don't want you to miss that. And it is the means of knowledge retention. Notice here now that if you will bow your ear to understanding, you will get discretion and you'll have the ability to retain information. Now, I've never considered myself particularly gifted. I think of myself as a one talent person, and probably the highest compliment ever paid to me was a friend of mine. I think it was a compliment. Wasn't sure when he said it, but I put the spin on it later. He said to me one day, he said, "Johnson, you haven't got much talent, but what you got, you use." And I thought about that. Okay. Now watch this. And I'm only testifying to you that in my pursuit of understanding things of God, I have been able to regurgitate almost on demand knowledge of God, knowledge of His Word, and knowledge of stuff beyond my ability. And it's because of this thing called understanding. There is some direct dynamic between understanding and being able to bring back up information that relates to it. In school, I had a hard time retaining knowledge. I mean, there's certain stuff I didn't even know why I was learning it. I just had to learn it, right? Just going through the thing. But once you understand how that knowledge interplays, recalling information is easy. It is born out of understanding. It enables you to have discretion. Person and discretion, and that thy lips may retain knowledge. It's as if there are invisible mental links from understanding to various deposits of information, which when at first you perused or read were not meaningful and you forgot all about it. But once you had understanding, you could go to the well and pull it back. Understanding causes the retention of knowledge. I don't want to miss the first part of this, though. It is the basis of discretion. A person without understanding will say whatever pops into their mind and sometimes say things that didn't even pop into their mind. Have no discretion. No ability to determine what is appropriately to be said or done and what is not. Understanding provides discretion. And then it prevents adultery. Whoso commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. All right, let me mess with you below the surface for a few moments. When I say mess with you, I'm poetically speaking, I want to engage you at a level that you may not have been talked to about previously. When this scripture says that whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacks understanding, this includes virtual adultery. This includes mental adultery. Well, I'm going to be more vernacular. This includes pornography. This includes behaviors that grow out of or are spawned out of virtual promiscuity. Now, I'm having a hard time not jumping and leaping forward to that Sunday morning when we talk about how to get understanding. Because a person who has understanding knows, remember, cause and effect relationships. A person who's understanding understands the consequences. The fool does not. He just blunders forward. He doesn't know what he's doing to himself. Now watch, because this scripture is about to give you some of the pieces of understanding. He that commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. Now watch it. He that does it destroys his own soul. The soul is damaged. The soul is damaged. The soul is damaged by adultery, mental adultery, you name it. Soul is damaged. That's why if someone who has understanding and knows the damage of adultery doesn't commit adultery. But he destroys. And it doesn't just damage the soul. This scripture says it is destructive to the point that it can render the soul inoperable. It destroys the ability to think and feel properly. Hello. Now, I said as I began today that in America there is a correlationship between our immoral condition and our lack of intelligence. You see, don't ever think God doesn't know what he's talking about. When he says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That the consequence of proliferation of pornography, and I'm not talking about the pornographers, I'm talking about the people who absorb it. Because you don't leave that piece of pornography behind. You carry the thoughts and the images with you, and they constantly are damaging the soul. And that's why you can have men, women, for that matter, who have risen through the ranks and been promoted to governmental leadership positions that don't have understanding because they don't have morals. He that commits adultery with a woman, whether in fact or in thinking. Remember, Jesus said that he that looks on a woman to lust after her, committed adultery already with her in his heart. He that commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. Now watch it. He that does it destroys his own soul. Now watch this. A wound shall he get. And now we are a land of millions of walking wounded people. It doesn't end with wound. A wound, and look at this, and dishonor. Now, the person who lacks understanding, who engages because of his lack of understanding in adultery, virtual or in reality, thinks it's a secret. And because it's a secret, the damage will be less. Wrong. He destroys his soul. Nobody knows what's going on there but you. He gets a wound and dishonor. And watch this. Look at the next phrase. And his reproach shall not be wiped away. For those of us, for any who have participated never be the same. Never be quite the same again. What I need now is about 20 minutes to bring the redemptive principles of God to bear on this situation. So let me, if I can, in really quick summary, say, of course, that God is redemptive. Isn't that really good news? And his blood cleanses. Isn't that really good news? Watch it now. You can have this adultery, fornicating spirit damage. You can have whatever has happened to you. It can be washed out of existence. It can. That isn't that good. That's what Jesus comes to do. Nevertheless, there is a retention. Christy, can I have a page out of your book? This is your life. And this, is what the enemy wants to do to your life. He wants you to sin. He doesn't want you to depart from evil. You're going to learn one of the definitions of understanding. And understanding, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. But if he can get you without understanding, you will not flee evil like you ought to. It won't be as adversive to you as it should seem if you had understanding. And so, what we do here is this thing can really destroy your soul. Now, happily, here comes redemption, and here comes the blood of Jesus, and he washes this absolutely out of existence. He can heal us. Can mend us. You can put the pieces back together. But there is a reproach. And that's precisely what it is. Nothing more, nothing less. It cannot be wiped away. It is designed to stay with us for good and godly reasons. Because this reproach, it doesn't get wiped away, is a reminder to maintain understanding all the time. So I don't want to go there again. I don't want to do that again. I don't want to give the enemy any more advantage, because he'll do more destruction to my soul. He'll ruin my honor. Let me tell you where this gets you. This reproach that's left gets you at the level of self-esteem. It gets you. Nobody knows about this. This is secret, right? This is secret. But it's like a scar left on your soul that never gets wiped away, and you bear it, and God lets it stay there. There are very few things that God doesn't wipe away, by the way. But he leaves us at the personal, private level that nobody else knows, with a reproach that serves as a continual reminder of the consequences and of the need for having and maintaining understanding, so that your life doesn't become a continual destruction, and in turn, a destroyer of others. Follow that? It prevents adultery. Man commits adultery, lacks understanding. A reproach shall he get. Wound, dishonor, and a reproach shall he get, and shall not be wiped away. Understanding will prevent that. Now watch this. Understanding prevents the entrapment by evil men or evil women. It prevents entrapment. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and to understanding. Understanding? Call understanding thy kinswoman. Kinswoman. Now watch this. This is really, you know, I'm just preaching the word to you. I hope you're getting it today. Look at this now. That they may keep thee from the strange woman. The stranger that flattereth with her words. Let me say this to you girls. Oh, watch this now. Say to understanding, thou call her your kinswoman. Watch here. That these two things, wisdom and understanding, may keep you from the strange man. Ready? That stranger, which flatters with his words. All right, here's what I want you both genders to get this morning. I'm telling you, I think the Word of God is telling us that the stranger, and boy, that begs some definition. And let me tell you the short form and the short version of it. A stranger in the book of Proverbs is someone other than your spouse. The one to whom you should be married. Now watch this, because I don't want you to miss the meaning and the essence and the simplicity and the power that's in the Word of God. Understanding is designed to keep you from the, are you ready? The strange man or the strange woman who, the stranger who cons you with his words. Manipulate, flattery. This is a con job. This is somebody who wants to take from you something you should never give them and not give you what you deserve. Somebody who wants to destroy your soul. Somebody, if you give in and yield to the con, to the nice soft music that's set in the background, to the setup, emotional setup, for a seduction without covenant commitments. Understanding will keep you from those men and those women. I don't know if you're all getting it, because if you got this, you ought to be shouting happy by now. You know, I'm going to try and squeeze in December. By the way, this Wednesday night, you know where we are. We're picking up where we left off. Remember the scripture we were on Wednesday night last? Yeah. If you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. This Wednesday night, you're going to understand what the deeds of the body are. There are listed 18 of them in scripture that need to be mortified. They need to be killed out of existence in your life so you can follow the Spirit, because the Spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit, and the two are contrary one to another. And you either follow your flesh or you follow the Spirit. And every time I get in the flesh, even if it's for 30 seconds, I say something I shouldn't say to somebody and do something I shouldn't do. And God never designed us to live bouncing back and forth from being in the Spirit one moment and in the flesh the next. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We must not let the flesh operate as our guidance system. We'll learn that Wednesday night. And what was it? Anybody know what I was talking about? What? The stranger. The con. Because, and what does it take? This is why we will learn that understanding is to be taught the moment a child is taken from the breasts and weaned from the milk. That's the starting point where the Bible says we should start to teach children understanding. By the age of 12, they ought to have understanding on the basics. And if you haven't, you need to get there fast. Because understanding will keep you from being seduced. And if you're seduced, you will be reduced. You'll give away parts of you that you'll never get back again. Understanding prevents entrapment. It leads to excellence, righteousness, and truth. Oh, we simple, understand wisdom. You fools, be of an understanding heart. Because if you are, you'll be able to hear what I'm saying to you. And I will speak of excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth speaks the truth. Without understanding, you won't know the truth. You will be a truth rejecter because you are driven by something besides the brain that God gave you, which he intended to be filled up with understanding. So truth becomes relative, adjustable, flexible, lacking absolutes. But not to the person who has understanding. Understands what when something is excellent. Listen to that. Scripture says, woe unto him that puts bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter and good for evil and evil for good. Woe unto them. We're living in a nation where because we didn't assume the responsibilities with freedom, but only took the privileges of freedom, and used the privileges of freedom, such as freedom of speech, to proliferate evil, to proliferate propaganda, to proliferate the telling that something that's evil is good, and that something is good is evil. So now, we in mass lack understanding. Don't know what the truth is. And watch this now. And because of this lack of understanding, not only do we not know what the truth is, we don't see something excellent when it is excellent. Our whole value system becomes cockeyed, inverted, if you please, upside down. And things we admire, we should despise, and things that should be despised, we have been taught to admire. Oh, what's that scripture? That which is highly thought of by men is an abomination to the Lord. So a person without understanding can look at an abomination and see it as if, oh, look how wonderful this is. Oh, what a freedom. Well, go for it. And their lips are no longer able to speak of the right things, but only the wrong thing. What causes this condition? There's a lack of understanding. Conversely, understanding overcomes it. Now here's a good one. In these listing of values of understanding, it prevents unnecessary punishment. This is a really good one. Anybody who's age 2 to 12, listen here. In the lips of him that has understanding, wisdom is found. Now, by the way, watch this phrase with me. Him that hath understanding, guess what he gets when he has understanding? Watch. Wisdom is found. Understanding, as you're going to see in a moment, is the basis for getting wisdom. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. If you can understand right and wrong, forward and back, up and down, and live your life according to understanding, you will not have to be beaten. You will not have to be disciplined, neither by the courts, by the laws of the land, nor by parents, nor by any other authority, because you have understanding. And understanding will lead you to proper behavior that begs no punishment. It prevents, here we go. It's the provider of wisdom. Understanding is a provider of wisdom. It is sport. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief. But watch this. But a man of understanding half wisdom. It enables the accumulation of wisdom. Let's look at another verse. Wisdom rests in the heart of him that has understanding. There is a natural gravitation of wisdom to the heart of those who have understanding. Watch this, because here's, let me show you another key word here. This key word is this one right here. Wisdom rests in the heart of him that has understanding. It stays put in a relaxed condition. You don't have to go out and find it. Wisdom will naturally gravitate to the person who has understanding. And it will rest there in a state of relaxation. It will stay put. It won't escape. And then understanding empowers us to maintain silence. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. Now, watch it, because of plain implication here. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, and he doesn't have understanding, guess what he will do? He will start saying the wrong things to his neighbor. Or he'll start saying the wrong things about his neighbor. He'll start to give verbally give life to something that should not be given life. I want you to think about that for a moment. Remember, the power of death and life is what? It's in the tongue. There are things that the tongue can give life to that never should live. They should die. Got it? Now watch this. It is understanding that enables a person, when we talk about hold your peace, it means keep your opinion. Don't give verbal utterance to it, because if you do, you will give something life that should not have life. Or you will give a destructive force to something that should not be destroyed. A man understanding holds his peace. It empowers us to maintain silence. Here's another verse on the same subject. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. It's one of the earmarks of understanding. Not talking too much. Not talking out loud everything you think or you ponder. Understanding empowers us to maintain silence. And it's golden. Understanding prevents us from coming under the influence of empty people. Now, I'll qualify that term here in a moment. He that tills land shall be satisfied with bread. But watch this now. But he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. What is a vain person? What is this? I call it an empty person. All style and no substance. All talk and no walk. All show and no go. These people can become very attractive because they create an aura about themselves. They develop personality traits. But if you ever get to know them, they just lack substance. Now watch it. These people are trying to become the leaders. They're big shot sinners, usually. And they have a degree of style and pomp and cosmetics sufficient to fool you. Not every woman that uses cosmetics is a vain person, but all vain person who use cosmetics still are in the vein, and they can have the appearance of success, of pomp, of prestige, of caliber, of breeding. My wife and I coined a phrase not so long, well, it was a couple years ago. I can't remember how it popped out of my mouth. You ever meet somebody and you say to yourself, there's more to them than meets the eye? Now, I know, like, I feel that way about Dr. Shirley. There's a lot to this man, more than most of us observe. There's a depth that he has that I get to tap in pieces of it once in a while. There's more to him than meets the eye. I think any real true follower who really, you know, people don't know how smart you are, they don't know how wise you are, and they don't know how full of God you are. There's more to you than meets the eye. But one day we met somebody, and this is probably one of the things I might not should have said. But before I realized what I said, there's less to him than meets the eye. This is a vain person. A vain person is a person who has less to him than meets the eye. A person without understanding will follow those who have what meets the eye, but lack. They are empty people. They possess neither character nor attributes admirable. It just got to show. Now watch this, because I want you to get this. This is one of the benefits of understanding. Prevents you from following vain people. Because vain people will take you to a cul-de-sac. It will be a dead-end street. There will be disappointment and emptiness at the end. Even if it seems otherwise when you start, because you saw the glitter, the luster. Doesn't it remind you of that scripture? There's a way that seems right to a person, but the end thereof, the ways of death. And the laughter, the heart is sorrowful. The end of that mirth is heaviness. We're not doing very good time-wise, are we? Now, understanding will give you ease. Gracious ease, gracious favor. Look at this. Good understanding gives favor. Now watch this, because I want you to get the proper meaning of the scripture. But the way... what number am I? 38. All right, sorry. This. Good understanding gives favor. Now watch this. But the way of the person who transgresses understanding is hard. Understanding is like a plow that clears the debris out of your way. Now, those of you who lived, unfortunately, in the far north, as I, once upon a lifetime did, know what 25 inches of snow can do to a city. Moving around the city is pretty, snowshoes, but once the plow goes down there, you can get down the streets. Now, whether it's snow or just junk, clutter, understanding has this ability to stuff that everybody else has to tread through. You don't have to tread through it. There's no hardship because you know the story. You know what's going on. And what irritates somebody else is not irritating you because you understand its non-effectiveness. Leads to favor. Every student, look at this one now. Understanding makes learning easy. This is similar to our point made some moments ago. Knowledge is easy to him that understands. Knowledge comes easy if you have understanding first. Because it isn't like some foreign piece of information that doesn't fit somewhere. When you have understanding, you see where stuff fits. So knowledge becomes easy. It fits right into the picture of things. Let me see. Oh my goodness. Well, let me check you. I don't know what condition you're in. I'm just up here going to town. And I don't know how many are getting this? I mean, how many are benefiting from this? Let me see your hand. How many are ready to go home? Those without understanding. Ah, dear. It's a tough call here. So how many? I got 53, right? I wonder if I could do 1 minute on each one of them. Oh, you've touché. Oh, dear. What am I going to do? Huh? Yeah, well, okay, well, I kind of want to do something Thanksgiving-ish on the next Sunday, but how many, if I continued this next Sunday, would be thankful? All right. Next Sunday, I will do a little miniature thing on Thanksgiving. All right. But we will bring those notes back with you because we need to get to number 53. When you see number 52, I'm telling you, number 52 is going to absolutely knock your socks off truth. Number 52 is one of the most significant values built into having understanding. It is an immense in its impact. It's life-changing, either for better or for worse, depending on whether you have understanding or not. Amen. Well, everybody just say amen. Amen. That means so let it be. And I don't know when I'm going to squeeze this in. It's in December somewhere. I want to do a thing on the subject of amen. The Bible tells us to use the word amen frequently, and as a congregation, we do not use it frequently enough here. So the Bible not only tells us to use it, but tells us when to use it. So we're going to do a study on amen. That's going to be kind of a lighter. Anyhow, my hope is that today has been helpful to you. And good. Praise the Lord. And when we get to how to have understanding, God has made such adequate provision that everybody can have it. 20 ways that God has designed for you to get understanding.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.